Hey, I just wanted to just welcome you this morning. If today is your first day, please, after church, meet me in the back. I'd love to go to the Connect Bar and meet you and just welcome you to Grace Point today and just give you a small gift to tell you we're glad you're here today. All right, are y'all ready to get into God's Word?
Yeah.
I am too, and I am ready to get this loaded up, and here we are. All right, let's open up in prayer, all right? Father, we love you today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you're doing in our lives. I thank you for all you're doing in this place. And Lord God, we give this moment of time to you, and we ask you, Lord, that we would surrender our hearts and our minds. We would open them up so that you, Father, not me, but you, Father, could pour into them. And Lord, you could speak directly into their spirit and change us, God, to be more like you than we were when we walked in those doors. And Father, I pray that you'd do that today, and I pray you'd do it in my life. Draw me closer. Make me more like you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen.
All right. So I'm going to start off today with just a really easy question. All right. So if you're a Christian, a disciple, a follower of Jesus, then this question is for you. What should come first in your life? What should come first to you in your life? It starts with G and ends rhymes with odd, all right? So is it God? Okay, man, we got it. You guys, I love that. I didn't even have to give you the answer, did I? Y'all are just smart. I love it. All right, and so God should come first in your life. After all, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, right? The Word of God also says, where Jesus tells us the very most important command in the Bible is that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, right? And so he tells us that we're, as a follower of Jesus, that God should come first in our lives. But the sad thing is that many of us claim that God is first in our lives, but our lives don't really reflect God as being the first priority. And so I want to illustrate this to you some here today. So I got some chairs here. And so as I ask you a few questions, all right, I got a few other cards here. So if God is the most important, what's something else that should be a priority in our life? Your marriage and family. Let's find that one, all right? Let's see. So, yeah, there's God, and I think I have one in here. Yep, marriage and family right there. I knew what y'all were going to say. I'm not a psychic, believe me. I have no idea what you're going to say. All right, so marriage and family. What's something else that is important? It's a priority in your life? Huh?
Prayer?
That should be a good one, and I should have one in here for that. But at this moment, I don't. Man, see, she's preaching to me this morning. All right, I should have prayer in my life, but I don't. Okay, so now, what else could go in our life that's really important? Huh? Well, that would come under family, marriage and family. All right. Work. Let's see here. Yep, I got one right there. Career. All right. So, you know, if you're going to have a career, I mean, it should be important. You went out and borrowed $10 million so you could get your education, and you're paying that back right now. So that should come pretty high on your list. What else could come high on our list? Church. Well, that'd be good if I had a card for that. How about I help you out? Money and stuff. All right. So you go to job. You go to your job, you work hard, and you want to have some stuff, right? You like to have some money saved up, and you like to have, you know, you like to go get that Starbucks coffee for $18, and you like to, or however much it is now, but you just love to have a little money and stuff, right? That's why we go to work. So, and then another thing that I think that a lot of us have, I'm going to go ahead and just tell it to you, is hobbies, all right? Yeah, so a lot of us like to enjoy just a little bit of downtime, something that we enjoy personally to do, and just take some time out, stop and do a hobby and have fun. Nothing wrong with that though, right? So, all of these things are good things and not bad things at all, but What I want you to do, though, is I want to take for just a minute, I want to imagine these chairs, these are priorities in life, okay? These are things that you have, and I could, like you were giving me other ideas, we could probably put chairs all the way across here, and you could have church and prayer and all the things that we put into our lives, but for time's sake, we're just going to start with these five, okay? And so, what we do is we think that everybody agrees that God should go in the first chair.
Yes.
Is God in the first chair? All right, so God's in the first chair. What do you think we ought to put in that second chair?
Marriage
and family. That's right. So we gotta take care of our wives and our kids and be nice to one another, hopefully. And then what's the next one?
Career.
All right, so we're going to put career here. And let's just put money and stuff, because you got to have that if you're going to have any hobbies, right? There's not too many hobbies, so anyhow. So it's important for us to take and get our life in priority, right? But can I ask you, is this a reflection of most of our lives? Probably not, you know. I can't speak for all of us, but I know for myself, and I see it a lot, that this is not often the case. And one of the most common things that I see that goes in the first chair, what do you think that would be? If it's not going to be God, I think the easiest one sometime for... Boy, you guys have got a lot of opinions. I'm going to go with this because I see this a lot, okay? A lot of people take and you got to work all day a lot, it's important. You, like I said, you've spent a lot of money getting a degree, getting your job, spending time there, and you go there, you spend all day, you come home, you want to tell your wife about all your day or your husband, and you want to spend a little bit of time with them. And so it can really be one of those things where you kind of put it in your first chair. And so what happens whenever you take God and you put something in His place? Things get, huh? He moves down. Yeah, sometimes He moves down, and sometimes He actually just slips through the crack. Sometimes He just slips away. We spend so much time and so much energy trying to get that promotion at work, coming home to a family that has things they want to share with us about their day, and we want to share with them about our day, and we want to love those around us well, and you know, if we do all of those things, then the money and the stuff, it just kind of happens, and we get to chasing that dollar sometimes, don't we? And the next thing that we think we can buy that's going to give us the joy in our life. And then our hobbies, hobbies are good. I don't know what your hobbies are, whether it's, speed knitting or maybe you're speed walking or I don't know. You may have a hobby that you really enjoy. And I can tell you something about that is that it's not that any of these are bad. They're all good things. But when they get out of order, then our whole life gets out of order, doesn't it? It gets out of whack. And so today, I just want to kind of continue along the line of this Christian-y. If you haven't been here in the last couple of weeks, I like to make up words. I made up a word, Christian-y, and I gave it a definition, having a half-hearted faith, wearing the label of Christian, without truly following Jesus. That's Christian-y. And so today, what I want to talk to us about is along this theme of Christian-y, about the times where we have a faith that puts God second. A faith that puts God second. And so my prayer this morning is, and I've been praying this whole week, is that we would be able to come in here this morning and that God would speak directly to our lives independently, you, not your neighbor. So many times I think, ooh, that'd been good for somebody to hear that, when I'm listening to the message somewhere. But today, my prayer is that you'll say, you know what? God, if this message is for me, And can we just pray that right now? Dear Heavenly Father, say it with me. If this message is for me, I pray, God, that by the power of your word and by the grace of your conviction, Lord, that you would open my heart and my eyes to see if I'm putting anything in my first chair in your place. And if so, God, help me. Help me to change. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And so we're talking about Christian-y this morning, like Christian in name only, or almost a Christian, sort of a Christian, Christian-y. All right. And so one of the most common qualities, though, that I see in this, people that are Christian-y are people that have a faith that puts God second. He doesn't really come first in their life. And so how would I define a faith that puts God second? Glad you asked. So I would define that as a faith that reflects a divided heart where God is first in your words, but not in your life. It's a faith that puts God second. We say, I want to live for God. I want to please God in everything that I do. I mean, after all, you know, he's given his life for me. He loves me. And I should do this. I should have him in the first chair. But then as we see, life starts happening. Distractions start coming. And they start just taking over in our life and in our mind. And we claim that God should be in the first chair. We claim that. But God actually oftentimes gets completely left out. And so I want us to talk about that. The Bible says that any time that we put anything ahead of God, that it's called idolatry. Everybody say idolatry. And I'm going to tell you with everything in my heart, I believe that the Holy Spirit this morning wants to speak into your heart. He wants to speak into my heart. He wants to convict us, and he wants to transform us. And I'm telling you this morning with everything in my fiber this morning, I want us to lean into this. I want us to see. I want me to see. I want my eyes to be open. I want your eyes to be open. And I want us to see exactly if there is anything that we have in that first chair that God's not there. And I want us to pray that God would change us. And I believe he's going to do that this morning. I want to show you two verses on idolatry, okay? The very first one is in the Old Testament. It's the very first commandment of the Ten Commandments. And it's in Exodus 23. You can find it there. And it says, you shall have no other gods before me. All right? No other gods. You should put God in the very first chair. That's what the first Ten Commandments tells us. All right? And then we can see in the New Testament where John is talking, and he says, dear children, you should keep your lives free from idols. And so if you're like me, though, when you think of an idol, what is it that you think of? When you think of, you hear of somebody, an idol. Anybody? A statue, yeah. I think of maybe a golden calf or something I've read about an idol in the Bible. And so I tend to think of someone just bowing down to some sort of a golden statue. But an idol, according to God's word, is actually a lot different than that. I would say to you that idolatry isn't just bowing down to golden statues, but it's putting anything or anyone, anything before God. It's anything, even if it's a good thing. If you put it before God, it becomes an idol. And when we take a step back and we look at this situation, we look and like, if God is who he says he is, all right? If God is who he says he is, if he is the creator, the sustainer, the Lord of all, the King of kings, if he's all of that, well, then doesn't he pretty much have the right to ask us to put him first in our lives? And so let's just be real for a moment. I mean, that's a big ask, isn't it? I want to be first in your life. If I came up to you this morning and said, I want to be first in your life, that'd be a really big ask, wouldn't it? You'd be like, who in the world are you, and why do you think you should be first in my life? You know, because, you know, we all have dreams. We all have interest, and we all have a lot of things that's going on in our lives. And so when we read this, sometimes we think, well, why is God being so demanding? Why does he think he has to be first in my life? Well, I could give you a bunch of reasons this morning, but I'm just going to give you one, okay? Besides the fact that he's worthy of it, I want to give you another reason that we need to understand is that God wants to be first in our lives is because God is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. And I'm gonna be honest with you, and maybe you'll be honest with me. Maybe you feel this way, maybe you don't. I don't know. But for me, I kind of think this way. So when you hear that God is a jealous God, when you hear those words, I mean, is that a metaphor that sits well with you? I know for me it's not. You know, I think to myself, I don't really want to serve a God that's full of jealousy, really? I mean, that's like some petty human emotion, right? Jealousy. And I don't really like it because it makes God sound like he's being petty. And so the idea of God being a jealous God, I want us to look really quick at the scripture, though. And God is very plain. The Bible's very plain that God is a jealous God. I want to show you three verses. First one is Exodus 34:14, and it says this. It says, do not worship any other God, for the Lord your God, for the Lord whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Now I want us to look at Exodus 20, verse 5. Exodus 20, verse 5 says this, you shall not bow down to idols or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. All right, so let's go to the third one. Third one is Deuteronomy 4:24. It says, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Wow. So if that comes across a little bit negative to you, I would have to say that it did with me as well. And so why would God be jealous? I mean, that is just a petty human emotion, isn't it? It doesn't sound very godly at all, does it? But it makes him sound insecure even, I think. I think when I think God is a jealous God, was he insecure? You know, it kind of gets you thinking. But if we step back and we really realize who God is, all right? If we go back and we just take a look at who God is, you'll see that God is infinite in power. God is perfect in his holiness. And God is sovereign over all creation. Amen? And so why would a God like that be jealous? Well, when Scripture describes God as a jealous God, it's important for us to understand the relational context here, okay? And so I want to show you something powerful from the original language. The word that is translated as jealous in the Old Testament is the word quan. And I hope I'm saying that right. I'm not Hebrew, so I think that's right. I'm a Texas Hebrew. Quan, all right? And the definition for that is God's righteous, consuming, covenant-keeping jealousy that relentlessly pursues and protects his relationship with his people. Man, now when you see God in that light, man, he pursues you. He's relentlessly pursuing you and me. Because he wants to protect our relationship. And so when we see this, I want you to see that in the actual word quan, this word here comes from the root word quan, but it's only spelt with one N, all right? So whenever the Bible or Hebrew writings, if they were to talk about you or me and our jealousy, they would just use one N. But in this word, quan, where there's two N's, that N is a Hebrew intensifier in their language, okay? So that would be like an intensifier. And so what that means is that this is a jealousy that only is set aside for God. So when they're talking about a human petty jealousy, it's going to be spelled Q-A-N-A. But this word is only reserved for God. And it has the two ends in it, or a none. So that's a Hebrew verse for it means another end. So if you want to impress your friends, you can say it has another none. All right. So anyway, so the Hebrew grammar, that's an intensifier. And it says that this is an infinite jealousy. And so there's no jealousy in this world that is greater than when the Q-A-N-N-A is used, that second N. It keeps us from knowing that it's a single end where there is it's a flawed jealousy. It's a self-serving jealousy. But this kind of jealousy right here, it's rooted in his covenant of love for you and me this morning. And so God's covenant-keeping, jealousy, relentlessly pursuing and protecting his relationship with you and I this morning. In fact, in the New Testament, we can see how God describes his jealousy as this. And this just amazes me. He says, I am jealous for you. Man, God is jealous for you. He's jealous for me. When we hear it this way, it doesn't sound so petty, does it? It kind of, oh, God's jealous, God. He's jealous because he wants to protect our relationship. He's jealous for me. You know, so you see it in a different light, and it becomes where it's not petty anymore. Amen. But it's with a godly jealousy. And why is that? It's because God loves you and he loves me. And God wants what's best for us, doesn't he? He wants what's best for us. But you know, any time that we put something, anything before God, anything that we put here, it hurts us. David even said it in Psalms. He says, those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. You see, I want us to think about that. I want us to slow down for just a minute. And I want to ask you this morning, if you're here this morning, and maybe you're here and you're struggling, maybe you're battling some depression, or you're facing some anxiety or hurt and struggles that's coming against you. Can I say to you this morning that maybe, just maybe, you're putting something before God in your life, and that idolatry is taking a toll on you. Maybe you find yourself and you think to yourself, you know, I've got this constant tension in my life all the time. Or you're feeling overwhelmed and anxious about everything. And you're depressed about things that are going on in your family or on your job, whatever it may be. And it might be that you are here this morning and you usually say, you know what, I just feel so disconnected from God. I can't sense him. I don't even feel like he hears my prayers. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I don't have any friends. I don't have a true friend, someone that I can confide in, someone that I can open up with and bare my soul to them, because I don't know if they'll even be there for me when I really need them to be. I don't know if they're going to love me and accept me. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're just thinking, you know what? You spend more money than you make because you're trying to fill some void on the inside of your life. Or maybe you drink too much or smoke too much, get high. Maybe you're doing something to numb the pain. Or maybe you get angry and you lose your temper and you're lashing out at those around you. Or maybe you're here this morning, you say, you know, my problem is I feel bored all the time. And so I end up looking at pornography or whatever it is, whatever that is in your life. That's what we got to figure out. What is the that is taking our place in our first chair? Whatever that is in your life, you see, I think that most of us, we think that that's the problem. But I would suggest to you this morning that whatever that is most likely not your problem. Okay? That is most likely just a symptom of your problem. And the real problem is, and very likely, idolatry. We're putting something or someone in place of God. Where's God? He's not in our first chair because we're putting other things in that place. And I know you're saying to me, Pastor, I've been here the last 2 weeks and you're getting on me a little bit, but today you're getting in my business. You're trying to tell me how to prioritize my life. You know, and you might be pushing back just a little bit this morning. But you say to me, Pastor, I'm not getting high. I'm not doing any of those things you said. I'm not battling idolatry. I'm just enjoying my thing. And don't mess with my thing, you know, because my thing's not bad. My thing's a good thing. And you know what? Good things are good until we get them in the wrong place. You see, it's just my thing. We think it's golf. Golf is my thing. Don't mess with golf. God created golf courses, right? So don't mess with my golfing, Pastor. You shouldn't be talking about this. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, my house is my thing. You know, I love my family and I want to have a good house and I want everything to match and I want to be a good host or hostess when people come over. And so my house is my thing. Or maybe you say, my image is my thing. Whenever I go into a place, I want everybody to look and think, man, he's got it all together. He's looking sharp and tight today. You know, I want to look fly, right? Come on. I could wish all day for that, right? So maybe it's your image. Or maybe you're here this morning and it's your thing is your kids. You say, my kids are amazing. Have you seen my kids? And you got all the flip through the phone and, you know, I got tons of pictures. Have you seen my kids? So your thing might be your kids. Can I tell you, these aren't bad things. Your kids aren't bad. Your wife, these things aren't bad things. But whatever that is, it may not be bad unless you're putting it before God. Unless you're putting it before God, because even good things can become idols. Amen? When they take God's place in our hearts, even good things can become idols. So if you're like me, when you think about this, you're going to start raising some questions. I start asking questions, you know, and how do I know if my thing is becoming an idol? Because so many times it's easy to get it mixed up. And it's hard to even see what we've done, though. And so how do we know that my thing is becoming an idol? Is it an appropriate interest? Is it an appropriate passion? Or is it healthy? Is it harmless? Or is it dangerous and idolatrous? And so right now, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit's going to speak to each and every one of us as we wrestle with three questions that I have for you right now, okay? And I pray that you'll let God do a work in your life as you read these questions. I want you to apply it to yourself, not your neighbor, not whoever you think it should be for. Ask yourself these three questions. Number one, does this, talking about your thing, does this lead me closer to God or distract me from God? You see, my thing, is it something complimentary and it blesses my relationship with God and helps me make a difference in people's lives around me? Or is it so strong that it's actually taking me away from the heart of God and putting something else in His place? Number two, to find out if you have something in God's place, ask yourself, do I rely on this more than God for my comfort, my identity, or my worth? When I'm hurting or I'm alone, do I go to this as the comfort of my soul, source of comfort, or is God my comforter, the Holy Spirit? Am I allowing Him to be my comforter? Do I need to have this thing in my life? Or is it God that gives me meaning? Number three, if God asked me, now this one's a tough one. If God asked me to give this up, would I just give it up without hesitation? Boy, this is tough. I understand. If God asked me to stop, would I say, well, of course, God, I'll do that. I'll do anything for you. I would do that because I love you and I trust you. Would you be like, no, not that. God, you can ask me to do anything else, but I'm not going to give that up. That's too important to me. This person's too important to me. This thing that I enjoy doing is too important to me. Whatever it is that he's asking you to give up and put him, take out of that first chair and put him back in there, whatever that is, I pray this morning that you'll allow God to speak that into your heart this morning. So I want to recap those questions really quick because they're important. Does this lead me closer to God or distract me from God? Do I rely on this more than God for my comfort, my identity, or my worth? Or if God asked me to give this up, would I give it up without hesitation? And now I'm going to ask you two more questions, all right? Is God trying to show you something this morning? Is the Holy Spirit nudging you right now? Is something in your mind coming forward and thinking, I must have something out of place? And I want you to remember, at the point that you're pushing back, that might be an indication of where God is trying to reaching out to you. And he's saying, you know, you need to put me first. And speaking of putting me first, I'm going to go first, all right? I'll go first this morning. And I'm going to share with you one of the things that I battle with of putting in this first chair. You see, even after 23 years of being at this church, I still battle with the form of idolatry of where I want to be liked. I wished I didn't. I wished I didn't put other people's opinions sometimes above God's opinion. But something inside of me says, I want to be liked. I want to be accepted. And I start caring about what people think and what they say about me. When in reality, in all reality, all I should be worried about is what God thinks of me. I love you too. I love you too. And you know, sometimes I have to tell myself, I have to say, Jack, you ever talk to yourself? I do. I have to tell myself, look, you can't please everyone, but you can please God. You can't please everyone, but you can please God. And so I have to crucify that over and over in my life, where I try to take and put something else here. How about you? I went first. How about you? What's God trying to show you this morning? What is God saying is in your first chair? Can I tell you that my heart wants you to get this so bad? I want you to understand this so bad, because I want you to see something. When you get this chair right, all of these other chairs just fall into place. And it doesn't matter which way they're arranged. It doesn't matter one bit. You can move this one here one day, and you can move this one there and this one here, and move them around every day. Every day can be a new day. It can look different as long as you keep God in the first chair. But the moment that we get this out of order, all of this is chaos as well. It's out of order as well. So my prayer today is that we would all take a look at our life and we would ask ourselves, is there something, someone, some habit, something that's in this chair? Because God is a jealous God. And He's jealous for you because He loves you. And can I tell you, whenever you begin to see the goodness of God and you begin to put Him first in your life, then you start to, like the song we sung a while ago, you get to know Him and you want to know Him more. And you want more of Him and more of Him. And you fall in love with Him. And it becomes easier as you keep Him here to keep the rest of your life in order. But we've got to understand there's no wiggle room. There's no, well, that doesn't pertain to me. God must be first in our lives. And when He's not, you can't expect any of this to bring you the peace, the joy, the excitement that it should bring, because you've got an idol in front of it and your life is out of order. Stand with me if you would. I'm going to close here. What's God trying to show you this morning? If there's something in the wrong chair and God is revealing something to you that is in that place, I beg you this morning, listen to Him. Lean into it. Pay attention to what God is trying to say to you. Let Him convict you with a righteous conviction so that you'll repent before Him and put Him first in your life and everything that you do. And remember, if you're fighting back and you're saying, oh, you know what? I shouldn't have came to church this weekend. I don't like this message. If you find yourself defending your thing, if you say, you know what? It's not bad. I'm defending it. And you find yourself defending it. I just want you to remember, what you resist hardest often reveals what controls your heart. So wherever you're pushing back, please, please give in and put God first in your life. And I want you to understand something. If you have something that's in the first chair that shouldn't be there, you don't just remove it, but you replace it. And you put what belongs there back, amen? And you give it to Him. And so we all pursue what we want most, don't we? But God is a good God. And the more we know of Him, the more we want of Him, the more we love Him. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Jack, the Holy Spirit's been dealing with my heart this morning. And as you've been talking, I've been asking Him to reveal what's in my first chair. And if you've seen that this morning, you see that God is not in that first chair, I want us to, before we leave this place, before you walk out those doors this morning, I want you to repent. I want you to say, God, I'm sorry. And I go with you. I'm gonna be praying the same prayer. Because I fail all the time. And I mess up. And I put things in this chair that never should be there. And so God, this morning, me as myself, I say I repent. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry for the times I've let you down. I'm sorry the times that I wasn't a good pastor or a good husband. I'm sorry that I put things in front of you. This morning, we just want to repent, God. We want to ask you that you would come and take your rightful place as first in my life. Lord, that you would move on your people this morning is my prayer. God, don't let us go out this door today, Father, with something else first in our life. God, when we've come in here and we've heard the truth, we know that you are a jealous God. And the reason you're jealous is because you love us so much. And God, as we see how good you are, then we fall in love with you. And the more we know you, the more we want to know of you. Draw us close, Lord, this morning. Minister to your people. Lord, if there's someone here this morning and they're fighting back and they're saying, you know, God, I'll do everything you want me to do but that. God, if there's someone here this morning, I pray, God, that you would just speak into their heart and into their life and that they would say, God, I surrender all. I'm willing to give you my complete life and I'm willing to put you in the first chair so that, God, everything else in my life will fall into place. If that's you here this morning and you're a follower of Christ, but somehow you've allowed something to get in that first chair, I just want you to raise your hand with me. My hand is up this morning. I just want you to know my hand is up. Yes, hands all over the place. It's so easy to do. There's no condemnation here. Nobody's condemning you for getting it mixed up. But what has to happen is we got to replace it. We got to remove it and replace it with God this morning. And so I want us to pray about that. If that's you and you want to ask God to be first in your life this morning, we're going to pray. But I also realize that here this morning, there might be someone here and you've never put God in the first chair. You've never put him first in your life. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins. And you say, well, who is this Jesus? Let me tell you about my Jesus. My Jesus is the spotless Son of God that came to this earth and lived a sinless life. And he laid it down upon a cross and he took stripes upon his back and he had a crown of thorns on his head and he was whipped and he was beaten and he was crucified on a cross and he died so that you and I could have life and life more abundantly. You see, that's my Jesus. And if you don't know him this morning, let me tell you, he says that all who call upon the name of him, he would be saved. If you believe on him and give your heart to him this morning, you will be saved. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I've never put Jesus or God first in my chair, but I want to this morning. I want him to forgive me of my sins. If that's you, I want you to just raise your hand up this morning and we'll just pray. We're going to pray with you at the end. And at the end, I'm going to lead us in a prayer so that we can pray together so no one prays alone. But let's pray right now for those of you that know Jesus, but somehow you've gotten it all out of order and you want to get your life back in order and put God in the chair he deserves, the place that he needs, the place he wants. If that's you, let's pray this morning. Father, I come to you today. And Lord Jesus, I just repent, first of all. I'm so sorry, God, that there's been moments in my life where I put things before you. And I ask you, God, to forgive me of that this morning. Lord Jesus, my family and my friends that are here this morning that have raised their hands and they've said, God, you've spoken to my heart this morning and you've shown me what I'm putting in front of you. And God, I want to swap that around. I want to put you back in the first chair of my life. And that way everything else will fall into place. God, I pray that you would do that in our hearts and our lives today. And God, I pray that you would just speak to those that might be pushing back and saying, God, I'll give you anything but that. Father, I pray that you would just speak so softly, so lovingly, so caringly to them this morning. And Father, that they would see your love and that they would want it more than whatever else that they're putting in front of you this morning. And God, we'll just give you the glory and the honor and we praise you this morning. We put you in the first chair of our life. And God, help us to have the wisdom and the strength and the courage to not let this get out of order again.